Lord, we love you. Yeah. Jesus, wow, Lord, thank you so much, Jesus, for all you've done for us. You're a good God.
Yeah.
Lord, you are mighty and awesome in power and in strength and in your love for us. And all you've done for us, Jesus, you are great.
Yes.
You are good.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, we receive all that you are this morning. We receive right now. In Jesus' name, we receive healing power and virtue that is even flowing right now at this moment because of who you are. It's not because of who we are, but it's all because of who you are in us, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice made. And we thank you for your word that is healing power to us right now. So in Jesus' name, we expect. And I expect every heart to receive what they have need of this morning.
Hallelujah.
Whether in mind, a sound mind, in body, in physical healing, Lord, in emotional healing, I say touch your people right now in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God is good.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
All the time,
you know, Jesus was perfect. In every word that he spoke.
Mm-hmm.
He was perfect in every situation.
And
he was perfect in every geographical location that he went to. There was a purpose in it.
Yes.
And I just want to recap one little thing from last healing school, because I'm going to kind of tag on to that this morning. But when Jesus, remember when Moses went up to the mountain? He went up to the mountain, and this is still with me. What did he receive up there? He received the word of God.
Yes, he did.
But what did he do? He brought it back down to the people, and he gave it to the people. This is what the word of God is for you. And David said, I will look to the hills from whence comes my strength. My strength comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Strength is in that high place with God. And when Jesus went up to the mountain, if you remember the Sermon on the Mount, and he prayed in the mountains many times, but when he went up into that mountainous place, the people followed him, and he expounded what the Word of God to them, and they received it. But then it said he came back down the mountain, and what did he do? He began to lay hands on the sick, and they were healed.
Amen.
And we never, ever lose our position in Christ. Because we are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. We are always there. Now, we can't live up there in that mountain area, if you look at it that way, because Moses had to come down. And Jesus came down and he touched people. So we are in that high place in worship and love and adoration. It'd be nice if we could live there, but we can't, because he wants us to take what we've received, come back down and give it to the people. Touch people, lay hands on people, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. That was his word to us. But we take what we've got, what he has given us when we have met him in that mountainous place. So geographically, Jesus did things in certain places through the word to show his purpose within us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that again this morning.
Praise God.
Okay, so go to Matthew chapter 16. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. We're going to start in Matthew 16 and start in verse 13. Come on in, Barb. Verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? This is personal. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. Now, what I want to look at is Jesus took his disciples up into this. It was like the northernmost point of his journeys while he was on the earth. He's up in the region of Caesarea Philippi, up above the Sea of Galilee. And it was called Caesarea Philippi because it's after Philip, you know, King Herod's son, Philip. This region was given to him, so he named this area after himself and, of course, after Caesar. You can't leave Caesar out, okay? Caesarea of Philip, this was his area. And there was an area up there where Jesus took them and asked them one of the most profound questions that you could be asked. Who is Jesus to you? And that is the title of this today. Who is Jesus to you? But in this area, there was a, and you can still go and see it today. People, when they take trips to Jerusalem, they go up into the Caesarea Philippi area and they can see this. At that time, there was probably a temple that was still there, and they offered sacrifices. It was a hideous place in the natural, a real hideous place. They offered sacrifices. They just did hideous, immoral things unto false gods. But there was an area behind one of these temples where it was a cave area, and there was an area that they would drop these sacrifices off down into this pit, and this pit was called the Gates of Hell. And so this is where Jesus has them. And he's asking them, and you stop and think, why would he ask this most profound question of who he is in the most ungodly, immoral place that there is? Because when you know who he is, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. When you truly know who he is within you, the gates of hell, everything Satan throws against you will not prevail because you know who Jesus is. You know who he is and you know who you are in him.
Amen.
He asked the Pharisees the same question. Who do you say that the Son of Man is, or the Messiah is? Who is he? And of course, they answered a completely different way. They says, well, he's, you know, the son of David, looking completely in this flesh realm, this earth realm. You got to see Jesus beyond the earth realm.
Amen.
You got to see him beyond that. And you'd think, well, look where he asked this question of the Pharisees. They're in the temple. Of course, the place of God, where you go to worship, the godly place, the wonderful place, but they didn't have the answer. But he got his disciples out of there and he traveled, this is like 120 miles north of Jerusalem. It's a long way. He's about to turn around and come back to Jerusalem because he's going to the cross. But he wanted this seated within them. Who do you say that I am? It's not what somebody else says. Mm-hmm. What does man say? You can't look at what man says.
Right.
You can't look at your healing according to what someone else says. You can't go by someone else's experience. Well, this is how I got healed.
Right.
This is what I did. Mm-hmm. You can't look at, I mean, teaching is good. Mm-hmm. Preaching is good. Mm-hmm. The men and the women of God that come and they bring the word, it's all good. But you've got to know Jesus for yourself. It's
yeah.
got to be real. It's got to be personal. Mm-hmm. You got to make it personal.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, I'm going to go to so-and-so all the time, and they're going to help me. No, you've got resurrection power, resurrection
yes.
life that's already within you at work.
Amen.
Right? Romans 8:11.
Yep.
If the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you, then he shall also quicken or make alive, bring life to your mortal body. It's already at work. Healing is already there. It's already within you. It's already done. So we receive it because we've already received Jesus. So I thought, Lord, why did you ask them? And I asked the Lord this, why did you take them all the way up in front of this ungodly place and ask them this question? But it was because in this world, he says, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world because if you know who Jesus is within you, Peter made the confession, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I thought about that, and I says, you know, I kind of put myself in that scenario, in that setting. You know, how did they do this? Did they all just kind of look at each other and who's going to answer? You know, like happens here sometimes, somebody asks a question and it's kind of silent because people are thinking, they're pondering on their answer. So when the Lord asks us a question, it's not that he doesn't know the answer, but he wants us to really think about what we really believe. What do you really believe? When God asked Moses, Adam, who told you you were naked? It's not that he didn't know.
Right.
Whose voice are you listening to?
That's it.
Whose voice did you listen to? Did you listen to the doctor's voice? Have you listened to that? Have you got this negative report? And listen to this. It's like, well, this is what is said. Wait a minute. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I've got another voice that I want to listen to. I've got eyes that want to look up and not down in this earth realm like those Pharisees were looking. They had it made. They're in the temple. They're the ones that are facilitating. You know, they're bringing all the worship into the house of the Lord. And, you know, it's good. It's great. But they didn't have anything. They were lost without the Savior because they didn't know him when he was in front of them. But when you can come into a place and it's like, wow, I've had everything thrown at me. But you know what? God is still God. God is still God. And I know every one of us have been through issues in our life to where we've said, what else is going to happen? You know, it can't get any worse than this, can it? But all of a sudden, the dog runs away. Something happens, you know? The dryer quits. But you know what? When you stand firm and say, Jesus, you're alive within me, and the gates of hell, I don't care, cannot prevail against me because I know who Jesus is. Amen. And when we can stand firm on that. Has anybody ever been there?
Yeah. Gonna be.
Gonna be.
Next year.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We know who Jesus is.
Amen.
And we know who he is within us, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just thinking that not only do we know who he is and who we are in him, we know that he's given us power. You know, like it goes on to say in this scripture how we have the power to bind and to loose. We
sure.
We just have to lay down.
And
you
that's
know,
it.
We have power. God has
yes,
given us
do.
Power.
Yes, we do.
And a lot of times, I don't think we use that power
right.
to the fullest.
You're right, Doris.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
right. Because a lot of times, those circumstances and those things, they make an inroad
right.
into our minds.
Right.
And it's like we're thinking on those things. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's like, and I've had to do this myself. I've had to say, now, wait a minute. Stop. Stop what you're doing. And you get a hold of it. You recognize what it is and what's happening to you. Because I don't know, but there's times something might aggravate me and all of a sudden I'm thinking on it. I'm dwelling on it. And I'm feeling rotten.
Come on.
You know, I'm feeling mad and I'm angry. And I have to stop and say, wait a minute. Get a hold of yourself. And you got to shake yourself sometimes. You got to say, this is not from you, Lord.
That's right.
I've listened to another voice.
See? And he said, my sheep.
My sheep know my voice.
That's good.
That is right. And we
yeah.
are his sheep.
That's
he
right.
is my shepherd.
That's right.
Yes, and my is. Shepherd is going to lead me into those lush green areas where I can
That's
feed
right.
on him and feed on his word. He's
going
to take me to those cool still waters, not the ones that are shaky and rattly and harsh
on,
to where,
Joe.
You know, to
yeah.
where that my wool is going to get all wet and it's
yeah.
going to pull me under.
Yeah.
He's not
going to
do that. He's going to take me to that nice
yeah.
area
yeah.
and feed me and
Hallelujah.
Give me everything
That's
that
right.
I need. He's going to anoint me with oil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep
on,
all
baby.
The bugs off, right?
Now,
Amen.
Praise God. Yes.
He's my healer.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
He is my deliverer.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
He's my Savior.
Yes.
And with that, with salvation, it's already there.
It's already there.
He's rescued me.
Uh-huh.
Okay? He's my Savior. He's rescued me from sin. And with that rescue, he's rescued you out of that doctor's report that says it's over. He's rescued you out of this, well, I've had this all my life and I'm prone to it. You know, it's genetic. No, it's not. Whose DNA you got in you? That's what you're prone to. This perfect Son of the living God that is within you. And when Peter got that revelation, and when he seen it, it's like, I'm just wondering, you know, did they all look? Did they bow their knee? You know, what happened? It just makes you wonder. But when you see it and when you get it, even Jesus says, oh, you're blessed. You're blessed because you know this.
Yeah.
Blessed are you because you know who I am. And when you know who he is, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. That's what happened to you, Ronnie.
Hallelujah.
You said, wait a minute, I've got these symptoms going on, but I have a healer and I am healed. And you grab onto it, right? Yeah. Mary, you had a question or a comment.
It was just a comment because, like, when you were talking about where God said to Adam, who told you you were naked? Because when I've prayed with people or stood with them for healing, that's the thing is they want to go, well, the doctor said this, and it's no, but what did he say?
What? That's right.
Who's talking to you?
Exactly.
And see, that's important for us to know when we help other people.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And if you're pursuing the word on healing and stuff, the Holy Ghost is going to.
Amen.
The Father will reveal it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Praise but anyways, God. I was just thinking about that.
Praise God. Good.
Pastor Mike.
I also, in tandem with Mary, have found that, and you all, many of you all know what I've walked through and all the healing issues that I've walked through, and. I want to say that, you know, where you're going with this and what I hear, what I see, is really knowing who Jesus is for me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us have an image of Jesus that we kind of carry in our minds and in our hearts. But it's not always bigger than the doctor's report or the way that I feel.
Sure.
What's going on in my body or what somebody says to me. And it has to come back to who we say he is, not just by mentally assenting to it, but it's our firm belief. This is where our faith. Now, this is to me. This is what I'm getting from this. Where our faith, where the rubber meets the road, our faith, because we've magnified him to the point that it's over. He's magnified over whatever we see.
Right.
Whatever we feel and whatever we've heard. And we don't have to go through these mental, so much these mental gyrations as much as just reinforcing and magnifying who we know him to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Point. And that's an excellent point.
Yeah.
I just wanted to thank
it
you.
Is.
Amen.
It is.
We've got to make it real and make it personal.
Those are when the manifestations happen.
Those
are when we began to see the healings pop.
Yep.
Those are when we began to see the things drop off.
Yep. Right. Because every one of us can say, I've seen what happened to so-and-so. And it's encouraging. It really is. Mm-hmm. Praise reports are encouraging.
Yeah.
You know, reports of healing, manifestations in other people, they're very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get it for yourself.
Yep.
This is mine.
Yep.
And once you get that, you got to hold on to it no matter what you see. Because sometimes when you have received, say, wait a minute, this is what the word says. If this is my word, this is mine.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not seeing it manifest. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What do you do when that happens?
Stand.
Stand.
Mm-hmm.
You stand. You do stand because you have to. If you don't, what's going to happen? I mean, what else is going to start coming?
Right.
But you're going to lose that precious word, that seed of God that had been planted within you. Water it by standing on it.
Yeah.
Water it by saying it. Water it by searching it out. Water it by praying in tongues over it.
Amen.
And watch the manifestation come. And watch the fear and the doubt just disappear, even though you might not have seen the manifestation, but all of a sudden, I'm not even worried about it anymore because I know who God is. I know who Jesus is within me, right? Now, what happened with Peter after that? I mean, Simon, you're blessed. You're blessed. And when you know this, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. But not long after that, he says, I'm going to Jerusalem. This is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to go. They're going to arrest me. They're going to beat me. They're going to crucify me. But I'm going to raise again the third day. He says, oh, no, Lord, no, we can't let this happen to you. And he got rebuked. We might have some failures, you know. We might do some things or say some things that aren't in line with what the revelation that we had previously received. But you know what? We're not cast out because of it.
Amen.
He draws us back. He restores us again. And again, whose voice are you listening to? We gotta know this. See, because after Jesus was raised from the dead, and he appeared before them, and he says, wait, tarry, till you be endued with power from on high. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were waiting. They were waiting for him. They had obeyed what he said. They waited. Holy Spirit came and baptized them, and Peter had such boldness that he went out and he preached, and 3,000 souls were saved that day. But that power that he received and that unshakableness, he was unshakable because now not only has he seen the Lord, but he knows who Christ is within him. He knows what he possesses. And that's why he could go, when you look in the book of Acts, that's why he could go into the book, into Jerusalem, and he's seen the man that was laid there at the gate, beautiful. He was over 40 years old and had never walked. From his mother's womb, he had been laid there. Did you ever wonder why Jesus never healed him? You know we had to have seen him. I have no idea. I'll let you know, I have no idea. But many were brought to Jesus and he healed them. And many cried out to him and he healed them. Maybe this man just didn't cry out. Maybe, you know, I really don't know, but I know that Peter seen him. And they went over to them, and that's because they knew who Jesus was. It's settled now. It's totally settled. There's no doubt. There's no reservation. And he went over to him. I think I should read it. I was just going to reference it, but I think I should read it. Acts chapter 3, and it's verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which was about 3 p.m. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Change your focus. Okay? Sometimes we got to change our focus. We're not looking at, can you just give me just like, you know, a little token of something? No, look at us. Change your focus. Look at the Spirit of God and what he is, who he is within you. So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaping up, I love that. He's leaping up, he stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would. If I'd been lame from my mother's womb, I'm over 40 years old and I've never walked, and all of a sudden now I've got strength in my feet and my legs, I'd go walking and jumping and leaping through the temple too, through the city, proclaiming, this is what Jesus did for me. It wasn't Peter and John. Even though they said, look on us, what do you possess? You got the power of God in you. It's already in you. We need to release it. They didn't always say in the name of Jesus. Sometimes they just said, rise up and walk. Because they knew who they had within them. They knew what they possessed. And I asked the Lord, I says, Lord, give me a picture. Give me a picture of this that's really something simple, because it's so easy for us to receive salvation. We just take it by faith. And I think sometimes it's because deep within ourselves, we don't know what sin really looks like. You know, what does a sinful soul look like? Have you ever seen a sinful spirit? I've never seen it. Only God knows what that looks like. But we receive the Word of God. We receive salvation. We know we're forgiven. We just, by faith, we just receive it. But when it comes to healing, when it comes to deliverance, when it comes to finances, it's because we've touched it. We've experienced it. It's something of what we actually experience, and we're familiar with it. Mm-hmm. But that, see, that's how Satan tempted. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, taste it. He went into the sense realm. And when they went into the sense realm and they took that, it went from the physical all the way down into the inside, into the spirit man, and darkness came, death came. Jesus goes from the inside out, is what he does. Salvation is right here in our spirit man, and we're so perfect just like him. We're holy just like him in our spirit man, because that's where we receive that at. But now we want to release it from that spirit man and let it come back out into the outside. And so physical healing, sometimes it's like, well, I've experienced it. How do I release it? But it's by faith, just like salvation is, because it's all there. So I asked the Lord for a picture. I says, Lord, give me a picture of this. Make it simple for my mind to understand, because I was thinking about this. And I says, I got to understand this. I really got to understand this. Give me a picture. So he took me to my bank account. And I'm looking at my bank account. And he says, do you physically see that money go in there? No, I don't. It's a direct transfer. But I know it's there.
That's good.
Because I can pull up my statement and I can look at it. And I can see that it's there. And if I need a withdrawal, I don't physically see that withdrawal come out, but I just go and I take it and I know it's mine because I have it, because it's my statement. It's my bank account. It's got my name on there, and it's got my number on there. This is mine. So he says, it's the same thing. What do you got within you? What's in your account within you, in your spirit man? Right here is your statement. Read it. Yeah. Read what your statement says. Yeah. By his stripes I am healed.
Mm-hmm. Good enough.
Right? By his stripes I am healed. Way back in the Old Testament. Exodus 15:26, I believe. I am the Lord who heals you. Right?
Yep.
Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. Mm-hmm. It's all there. Read it in your statement. It's right here. Your name is in there. You're a whosoever will. Mm-hmm. So your name is in there. Take it. Take the withdrawal when you need it. You need healing? It's already in you. It's in your spirit man. Take it and allow that healing power to just go through your body, work in your body, and heal your body, because it's already yours. Okay? It's in your account.
Amen.
He talked about Abraham like that. It was accounted to him for righteousness because he believed God. That's how he became a righteous man. He believed God. He followed God. Okay, it's a banking term.
Praise God.
Okay? So I have a statement that says I'm healed. And I'm going to stand on that statement because this statement doesn't lie. It
Amen.
Does not lie. Pat.
When you were talking about your bank statement and how it's a direct transfer.
Yeah.
You know, in John 16:15 from the Amplified, Jesus said, everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant. And he's repeating himself. When I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you.
Transmit it to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a direct transfer, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So when Tom was talking about taking a stand, when you take your stand, you're taking your stand from something that you have received,
mm-hmm.
not something that you are trying to get.
Right. And that's it.
That's good.
And that's why, Pat, we have to not base it on what somebody else said.
Right.
Okay? I can't take out of their account. I got to take out of my own.
Yep.
The teaching is good. It's all good.
It's all good.
You know, the preaching is all good.
Mm-hmm.
The testimonies we hear, they're all good.
Mm-hmm.
Going to healing services, you know, whatever. It's all good. It's great to see that. But is it yours? Do you own it?
Right.
You got to own it.
Yep.
You got to say, yep. That's mine.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it seems like the gates of hell are arrayed against you, you stand firm because they cannot prevail against you.
Yeah.
He may try. The enemy may try. But when you stand firm on what you know, he cannot prevail. He's a blimp. Okay?
Very weak.
Amen.
Praise God.
Let's go to Malachi. The last book in the Old Testament. And we're going to go to chapter 4, which is the last chapter in the Old Testament. Thank you, Lord. Remember, you know, Thomas didn't believe until he seen. But Jesus told Thomas, you have to see that I'm alive. You have to see me with your eyes. But blessed are those that even though they have not seen, yet they believe. This is by faith. Salvation is by faith. Healing is by faith. You just got to know that it's there. Blessed are those, that's us.
Oh, amen.
Even though I've never seen Jesus. I mean, I've dreamt about him, but never seen him. But I know he's there. I know he's true. I know he's my Savior. So I'm blessed.
Amen.
You're blessed. Because you've chosen to make him your Savior, your Lord. So Malachi chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. You shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. I actually read 2 and 3. But it says to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness. And it's in there, S-U-N, like the sun. But what does that sun do for us? It brings life. It brings light. It brings warmth. It brings refreshment to the earth. It helps things to grow. You can't grow anything without sunlight. You can't bring any produce in. There's no sowing. There's no reaping without sunlight. There's death without sunlight. God has situated us perfect so that we can receive this sun of righteousness, this sunlight that comes. Well, Jesus is the light of the world, and he's the sun, the S-O-N of righteousness. And he brings to us that righteousness. But it says he will arise with healing in his wings. And the word healing there, it does mean physical. Okay? It means physical. He's going to arise with healing in his wings, or healing in those light beams that comes forth out of him. Healing in his rays, healing in his wings. He says, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you under my wings. I would have done this if you would have let me.
Mm-hmm.
And he
mm-hmm.
wept over them. He wants to gather you and protect you and bring you under his wings and under his wing of safety to protect you. But there's healing. There's healing in his hands. There's healing in the fringe of his garment. It even means the hem of his garment. There's healing in whatever Jesus touches. When it goes out, it's there. Even in the darkest place, even when you're standing before the gates of hell, his healing is there. The Son of Righteousness is there. Mm-hmm. When you know who he is, Satan cannot prevail against you. He can't do it.
Right.
He can't do it. And it says that you're going to go forth like, grow fat like stall-fed calves. I want to read it in the New Living Translation. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go free. You will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to pasture. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to leap for joy because the Son of Righteousness has arisen. It's a new day. When the sun rises, it's a new day, isn't it? When did Mary go to the tomb? She went to the tomb at the beginning of the day. The sun was just rising. And she found, when she went to that tomb, he's not here. He is risen. The Son of Righteousness has risen. And he has brought within himself healing in his wings.
Mm-hmm.
Receive it. You just need to receive it. And you just need to know, he's the light of the world, and his light shines on me. His light shines out of me.
Yeah.
You know what's so amazing? When he took them up there to Caesarea Philippi, that was also a place where they say that's where the transfiguration took place, was up there, where what was truly within him came out. And they seen the light of God. They seen the truth of what he has within him. He is the light of the world.
Yes.
He's the light of the world. But he took them to this place situated in this earth to prove to them it doesn't matter what you see in this earth. It doesn't matter how dark it is. It doesn't matter what place you're in. Do you know who I am? Who is Jesus to you? When you know who he is to you, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Satan brings oppression, doesn't he? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That word oppressed means utilizing harsh control over. He's controlling you. But Jesus, see, sickness can be a controlling factor in your life. But Jesus said he healed of the oppression of the devil. Healing there, again, it's physical. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It's the word for physical wellness. We win.
Amen.
No matter what, we win. Christy, did you have a question?
Oh, no, I was saying praise.
Praise the Lord.
Can I just share something right?
Yes. And let me have the prayer ministers. Let me have the prayer ministers come up while you're sharing.
That word in Malachi 4 and 2 healing.
Yes.
It says that this passage of scripture refers prophetically to the healing ministry of Jesus. The word marpe means restoration of health, remedy, cure, medicine, tranquility, deliverance, refreshing. It occurs 13 times in the Old Testament, and it comes from the verb rapha, meaning
rapha,
to heal,
Jehovah
to
Rapha,
cure, to repair. Salvation is God's rescue to the entire person, and is the complete repair of the person.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
What a healing Jesus I found in you.
Yeah.
He is my healer.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. He is my healer.
Oh yeah.
Is there anybody here that needs healing today, of any sort, of any kind?
Praise
it
God.
Might be a toenail. It might be a heart condition. It might be something in the mind you've been arrayed against. It might be emotional. Words have been spoken over you that are just ungodly and they're wrong. They're lies. Because Jesus sees you as his wonderful, beautiful, accepted child, right? We are accepted in the beloved.
That's right.
Romans 1:6.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1:6. It's one of those. But we are accepted in the beloved, okay? In the beloved Son, okay? I'm sorry. God is so good. You know, sometimes I think the Lord sits up there and he's just kind of sitting on the throne, but he looks at us sometimes and psh, That's a cute one right there, you know? I think he laughs with us. But I think he's so pleased with us because we are his beloved children. And you're right, Doris. Healing there, it does mean health, but it means of sound mind and body also. Sound mind and body. It's like medicine to us. So healing is yours. So whoever has a need, I want you to come forth. But I want whoever hears this to know you have a Savior that loves you. You have a God that loves you, but you have to make it real. Yes. Who is Jesus to you? Don't rely on someone else. Get it for yourself. And then share it. Isn't that what healing class is about? How to get healed? How to walk in divine health, and then how to minister healing to others. We take what he gives us and then we share it with others. Mary?
I was just thinking real quick, when you're on an airplane and they do the whole thing of putting your seatbelt on, get the oxygen mask, what do they tell you?
Put
get
yours on first.
Get it in you first, then you help the other person.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
Right, right.
You know, and if it's flowing in you, then you can help others.
Yeah, and some of us would have the tendency, no, I got to help them first. But if you don't help yourself, you can't help somebody else.
Right.
Okay, because you're going to faint.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got to help yourself, get what you need, and then you take that and you give it to somebody else. Because that's what the Lord said. Isn't that what he said, what he told us to do? Let's read it. Well, I'm going to read it. You don't have to turn there. Mark 16. He says, go into all the world, verse 15. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 17 says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, not maybe.
That's right.
They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Is this real to you? Or have you put a maybe in there? They might recover. You got to take this statement that is right here, this bank statement as a sort, this account statement. It says they will. And no matter what you see, you stand firm on that. They will recover. They will. Because Jesus cannot lie.
His word will not return.
And because he wants himself extended in this earth to us, through us. So thank you, Lord, for this class today. Thank you, Jesus, for your word that is incorruptible. The seed that we have been born again by is incorruptible. So we take that incorruptible seed that is already at work within us, and through that seed, that word of God, Lord, we let it go throughout our bodies in healing power. We let it come forth out of our mouth in healing words. And we declare we are healed. We declare, Lord, to us, you are the Son of the living God.
Hallelujah.
And we will not turn from that, Jesus. We stand firm in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.